the back, who's already done her junior park run. Proudly wearing her T-shirt. So welcome everybody. There's only one extra thing to... We may have latecomers because of the traffic, and that's fine. We have one extra notice, and that's to push the Churches Together prayer service, which is next Sunday at 6:30. I understand that the ministers or preachers from different churches will be speaking, praying on different things. So we need to have a decent showing from Point, and we are hosting it. So hopefully a few of you can make it next Sunday evening. I'm going to start this morning with an own arrangement service, so you get no sermon because we're not allowed. And I couldn't do one anyway. But I am going to start with a poem, it being Mothering Sunday. And it's one of Christina's poems that I found in a book that some of you may have, Mary's Treasures, that was produced in 2014, different reflections of members of this church. And I think it's a beautiful poem that says something about mothers and new life. Rob, have we got the lullaby? I knew such joy and privilege the night that you were born. I held you warm and weightless to my heart. Your precious downy head cradled safely in my palm. I gazed with holy reverence upon your perfect form. I looked towards the heavens and saw your dazzling star, fulfilling ancient prophecy I scarcely understood. Jesus, the Son of God, had come to live with man. I sank to my knees and wept in wonder. Now a change of pace. Children, come and join me. So each first Sunday in the month, we have breakfast church. And whatever song we sing, we're asked for this one. So I hope everybody is feeling fit. It's a long time since we sung this in church. Somebody's already started. So just to remind you of the chorus, if you forget, it's If I Were a Butterfly. Don't worry about the actions in between, though you might pick them up. You can wriggle like a worm or put your arms out like an octopus or raise your elephant's trunk. But he gave me a heart. It's this side, isn't it? He gave me a heart and he gave me a smile. He gave me Jesus and he made me his child. And I just thank you, Father, for making me me. Or you might want to be spinning round at that point. Is it? Well, you know, we'll travel, hopefully. So can we have the song, please? Are we ready? Now, the children are going to be leaving us in a minute, but before they go, we'd like to say a prayer. And the prayer will be on the screen, so we can say it to them together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have a special welcome for children. Thank you that Jesus was a child like us. Thank you that he had to learn to get on with his parents and how to grow up. Help us to feel at home in your house. Help us to ask questions. Help us to hear you, so that we may say yes to you today. Amen. Right, so we're going to say see you later, because they're going to come back later and tell us what they've done in Muddy Church, but they've got to go and do it now. Yes, look at them now, all smiling and clean, because they may not be later. Theo's engrossed, we'll carry on. So the hymn you see is one that makes me think of my mum. I can talk about my mum because I'm here and I can choose what I say today. My mum had the most beautiful voice. Sadly, she did not pass it on to me. If I had one of three wishes, it would be that I could sing like her, but, you know, it's not to be. She had a trained voice. She did everything from the Desert Song to the Messiah, and she filled theatres without microphones that people have today. So I picked this hymn for her funeral. Although she was a Baptist, they had taken to using Singing the Faith because she thought it was a good hymn book. And at 93, she was still leading services sometimes. She couldn't see, but she could set something up. And as it turned out, the pianist on the day was a Methodist who knew the person who'd written this. So there was a lovely connection, but I think it's good. It's a good song for the Methodist Church, and it certainly makes me think of my mum. We're going to think about words. It's a little bit like pointless. Only I didn't ask 100 people, I asked 3. But that's probably proportionate to the numbers who watch Pointless and the number of people who are here. So, a few years ago, I was here at a funeral, and it wasn't somebody from this church. It was a friend of mine who worshipped at Lostock, and they didn't have the space for the numbers who were expected. Sadly, she was a woman with teenage children. But I was sitting next to somebody who was not a churchgoer. Indeed, she'd grown up in communist Slovenia. And after a while, she said to me, "What are they talking about when they say fellowship? What does it mean?" And I mentioned this the other day to the three said sample persons. And we wondered about the origin of the word. And I think we've got the definition of ship. The suffix added to a noun forms a new noun denoting the property or state of being, time spent in a role, or specialised union. And it's from an old English word, shiapen, which means to shape. So I was just wondering what words we can think of that end in ship and whether they actually shape in some way. So I'll use this. And then I can hear. Not an expert. There we go. Okay. So I shall start with fellowship.
Can you imagine for a colour that doesn't show up for us in that? I'm sorry, Julian.
Well, you know that word. That's what it's called. It's
said it was black. Thank you for that one. Citizenship.
Well, companionship. We've got membership, I think. Yeah, I think I've run out of space now. Yeah, companionship. Way those the shaping bit is, I think it's there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Formed into it.
Yeah. Yeah. That we're shaped by our friends. We own things. I think I can see where the root of the word comes in. I'm not sure about work. What does were mean? I don't know that. I mean, we talk worth. Oh yeah, there you go. You see, we're a bright lot here. But I think for today, the word that we're pleased somebody's given to us without a plant is kinship. Because when we started planning this service, I asked for thoughts, poems, songs about our family, our kin. And it is our families and the life that we live with them, good or bad, that shape who we are. So a few thoughts from the congregation. Judith.
The day Judy asked for volunteers, we'd actually sung this hymn. The ask came at the end with ideas, and I suddenly thought, this is the hymn. And I hadn't really realised how important it was to me. So my choice...
Is it on the screen?
Yes. It's going to be 147. No questions. You don't have to guess what it is. It's the day that thou gavest, Lord, is ended. Now, there's going to be a picture on the screen. Exactly. That is my family in Australia. That's Jennifer, the Eve, as in Christmas, E-V-E, family. Jennifer is my younger daughter. So you've got Jennifer, you've got Henry, who's in the middle with a very big G across his very handsome face. Bess is their daughter, and Colin is their father. So that's the Eve family. Jennifer, Henry, Bess, and Colin, and they live in Australia. Now, they emigrated 15 years ago, and they went to Brisbane. They lived in Stoke-on-Trent before they went, and there's a big difference between Stoke-on-Trent and Brisbane. But they went out. Jenny was a nurse, and Colin is a paramedic. Skills that were greatly sought after 15 years ago in Australia, to a developing country with very nice new hospitals and loads of sunshine, loads and loads of sunshine. And they've made a new and good life there, and they're very settled. They've got an Australian citizenship, so we shan't be seeing them back in the UK again, unless something goes dreadfully wrong in the world. When they left, Henry was 2.5. Henry is the tall man in the middle. He was 2.5 years old. He was a toddler with a snotty nose. Much loved and greatly missed by us. So you can see what has... And Bessie hadn't even been thought of by then. So you can see what a difference 15 years can make. They moved to the other side of the world. And, I stress, the Southern Hemisphere, which is unexpected jolts and adjustments for me and for them, no doubt, as well. So their day... Australia, think about this, their day is my night. There, they go to bed when I'm just waking up. Their summer is our winter. They always are a day ahead of me, so when Christmas comes and they ring me to say Happy Christmas, they've had Christmas. I'm getting up at 9 o'clock, but they're putting everything to bed and the leftover turkey back in the fridge. So I always felt I was playing catch up. It was a very strange feeling and that I was out of kilter with it. And this came up one day, many years ago, when I was feeling distinctly blue and cross with life. But when you think about it, it makes a great deal of sense, particularly the words that say, as o'er each continent and island, the dawn leads to another day, the sun that bids us rest is waking, our brethren, my family, neath the western sky. So I realised then that it was okay, that we're all doing the same thing. We're just doing it at different times. We're living, breathing, eating, sleeping, dying, loving. Everything goes on, but just at a different time. And it made me see God in the context of a complete, the circle. We talk about the circle of life. Well, this was me with the circle of life. And the fact that it wasn't my meal when it was their meal didn't really matter. We were all eating, sleeping, loving, living. And so when we sing this hymn, I'd like you to see it perhaps, think of the words. I hadn't thought of the words until I got to those third and fourth verses, that our brethren neath the western skies. I thought our brethren were just our fellow Christians around the world. I thought it was a worldly Christian song. But actually, you can make it your family song. And if you've got family that don't live near here, not necessarily a long way over the other side of the world, but it's something that might actually have a resonance when you do that third and fourth verse and think of our brethren can be our family or our friends, they're everybody, but they can be our family. And think of it as your family as well. And it's given me a great deal of comfort. I probably cry when I sing it, I always do. But if you don't have emotion, then you don't have love. And I think with love comes emotion. And that's a good thing. We don't like to cry in public, but it means you care. And that, and the more you, not the more you cry, the more you care. But it's after, even after 15 years, it still sticks in my throat sometimes. But it's their life. I'm happy for them. We have our children, and we teach them to fly the nest. We don't expect them to fly 3,500 miles, but they do. But as long as they're happy, it doesn't matter where you live. We live and we love, and that's what important. That's what important is. So please enjoy, but don't cry like me. You'll be all right.
It's lovely to see a picture of Jenny. When I was probably the second year I was here, Jenny was in my young church group. And she was probably 12, 13 then, I guess. Yeah. So it's just lovely to see Jenny amongst us again. Oh, don't, I'm going now. We'll never get through.
So our next offering is a poem, and it's from Christina. And Christina was my first port of call, because if there's anybody who writes beautiful poems, which we miss now we no longer are able to have a herald, it's her. And I stopped her on the way into church, and I said, I found a poem that we started the service with, but I stopped Christina as she was coming in, and I said, have you got a family poem we can use for our service in March? And straight away, she recited one and told me something that made me think about our different shapes of families, because, interrupt me, put your hand up if I'm getting it wrong, but as I understand it, you were 10 years younger than your brother, and because of wartime, your mum pretty much had to bring you all up on her own. And, you know, we think of families and single parents, but it's not new. People have often had to bring their children up without the support of another partner for all sorts of reasons, and that was one of them. But the other thing the important thing for Christina about this poem was the relationships between brothers and sisters and how they tease. Why is it that my brother, each time he comes to stay, asks me where my gym slip is and what I'd like to play, and says, you've had your plaits cut off for years, the same old line, and all because I'm 17 and he is 29. In vain I try to tell him that I grew up years ago. He thought he had at 17, you'd think that he would know. Still, when he's 41, his greying hair will be the sign for me to make my comments, for then I'll be 29. Thank you, Christina. I think the fun of family comes across there very, very well. We're now going to think about children and marriage and moving on. Judith sort of mentioned it a bit as well, and Christine's going to talk something about her family and an event at a wedding.
So I didn't know Judith was also going to talk about an offspring in Australia. But I don't think I've ever mentioned to anybody here that my eldest son lives in Melbourne, and that we had a new grandson last March, and that we went to visit them last summer. I don't think I talked about it at all. In fact, I think I talked about it all the time. But I hope you forgive me for that. So Australia is such a long way away. But you don't have to have people that you love living in Australia to miss them and to wish that you could see them more often. Tom and Kim were married in 2017. They're not religious, and they decided to get married at Stockport Registry Office. And the following day, we had a sort of ceremony or celebration in our garden, which was where that photo was taken. This poem was written by one of their friends for the ceremony. And sometimes when I'm thinking of Tom and his family, I remember that weekend and the poem. And Judith set me off before I even started reading it. And I remember how happy they were, and how, as a mother, that's all we really want for our children, to be happy. Where love is, where can love exist? They wondered as soon as it arrived in Melbourne, inconveniently. She was a catch, except for one flaw, an Aussie. He was dreamy, but unfortunately English. Not flaws at all, charms, delights, were it not for space and time. He was leaving, back to Blighty. In 6 short months, which might be enough time to fall in love, but to what end? Though hearts can find new homes, Melbourne isn't Manchester, and London isn't Sydney. Where can love exist, they wondered, apart from here and now? How could they cherish ups and downs, if down was up, and up was down under and around? Will love exist there and then? In all permutations of theirs and thens, a future full of either's ors, a life unsure for sure, a romantic entanglement to make the brain ache as keenly as the heart. Best stick to here and now then, stick to one another. He'd stay longer in Melbourne, of course. Someday she'd try London, of course. And whenever big decisions came, they found their love was bigger. They found what all along was true. There was nothing to decide. Their love was quantum. It existed everywhere, in all of time and space, at once in Melbourne and Manchester. Under Aussie sunlight or Kim's bright light, she'll be right, mate, because here is there, and then was now, and now, and now, and now to know where love exists, to see the future, to see beyond the stars. They just look at one another, eye to eye, dimples to dimples, where love is. So that's us in Victoria. So now our next hymn is to be Let Love Be Real in Giving and Receiving. So I think the words to this song are really beautiful. And I hope that while you sing it, you will reflect on the words and the meaning of kinship and friendship and relationship as we sing.
Thank you.
Barbara likes that tune, don't you? Sing it beautifully. So we can't have a sermon, so we're going to have a little bit of a chat with each other. This isn't going to be a long chat, but hopefully we can think about what is special about perhaps our family, about our friends. Whilst we are here, the children are thinking about these very same three questions. And there's going to be another one afterwards just to ponder on. So if we could spend perhaps 5 or 10 minutes talking, if anybody wants to say anything afterwards, you're welcome, but no pressure. So if you could just turn to the people next to you or move next to somebody and have a conversation. Is our church like a family? What is it like to be part of God's family? Over to you.
Thank you.
Do you want to keep going or shall we stop? Is there anybody wants to offer anything or say anything? I just mentioned to honour that I very first came to this church after we'd lived in Poynton for 3 days. Some of you probably heard me say this. Convoluted story, I won't give you, but we had gone to a Methodist church in Newcastle-on-Tyne, which is where we lived before we came here. And the house was full of boxes, and I said to Tom, I'm going to take the children out of your way. And I said, there's a Methodist church, we'll go there. And we sat over there somewhere, and sitting behind us was Noreen Hood with her daughter Gillian. And Gillian had been given Beth, my eldest, to look after at school. And there were also quite a few people in the church then with twins, and our boys are twins. They were then not quite four. And so this church has wrapped me in friendship from the moment I stepped through the door, and still does. And I'm very grateful for it. Once, yeah. And of course, the Hoods are very good friends of ours still. Very good. One more question, and you don't need to talk to anybody about this one. Who do you trust? Just a moment to think about who you trust.
So this reading is taken from Proverbs 3 to 5 and is from the Message. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. And now, could we all join and sing, The Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want.
Thank you.
time for prayer.
There's a response to our prayers. When I say the Lord hears our prayer, will you please respond, thanks be to God. The Lord hears our prayers. Lord, on this Mothering Sunday, we thank you for your church, for the sense of belonging to your family, and the hope and the peace it gives us, for the whole Church of Christ, which has been like a mother to your people, as it was a channel of your grace and truth to the world. Father, we pray for the world, your world with all its opportunities, all its resources, and all its potential for good. Remember with deep gratitude its beauty, its variety, and the essential goodness it has, because you are its creator. We pray for leaders of nations and for those in industry or in commerce who are responsible for decisions which affects our nation and our daily lives. Lord, hears our prayers. Thank be to God. Father, we pray for our society and for our life together as one nation. And this time, when all that is good and right, true and just is being challenged and threatened, we ask for your loving hand to be upon us all. We pray for those in our society who are responsible for what we see, hear or read, for television producers and program makers, for newspaper editors, and for all who speaks or teach or preach, for all who lead, guide, or are potentially responsible for young people. We may remember our obligation to the truth of your love. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Father, we pray for those who are hungry, homeless and lonely, for those who are ill at home or in hospital, for those who are lost and longing to be found, for those who are depressed, those who are anxious, and for those who are afraid. We also pray for blessing and love for the people of Turkey after a terrible flooding recently. And we pray for the courage to challenge injustice wherever we find it. We pray for peace and end of the war between Ukraine and Russia. Help us, we pray, to always remember that is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the goodness of your love that we proclaim, and that is by the power of your Holy Spirit that we are called as your church to witness that Jesus is Lord. The Lord hears our prayers. Thanks be to God. Father, in silence, we offer you the desires of our hearts. Father, we pray for ourselves and for all that we must face in the days of this coming week. May we know that you are with us always and you are longing to bless all we seek to do and say in your name. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Loving Lord, today we give thanks for the joy of parenthood. We pray for the times when we find it difficult. We thank you for grandparents and the special role they play in families. We pray for those who are unable to be parents and for children who feel they are unwanted. On this Mothering Sunday, we pray for the church family. Unite us in you, that all may know that they are part of your loving family. Amen. And we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Now we want to find out what the children have been doing. They might have dug a big hole and built an igloo. Are they coming? Obviously, whatever it was very absorbing. Don't know whether they'll tell us.
Played.
You played?
Yeah.
What did you do in the garden at night? Do you remember what you put in the pot?
Peas.
Peas, yeah. What else did you plant?
A sunflower,
yeah. Did everybody hear? They planted peas, yeah, and a sunflower. Lois, have you got something to tell me that you did?
I collected some bits of tree and I put them in a book.
Wow, that's great.
And I also labelled them.
You labelled them too, so you'll know what they are. Yeah. Very good. But there are lots of different sorts of trees.
I didn't know all of the names, so I just made some of the names up.
Well, somebody must have made those names up in the first place. And maybe they got it wrong, and you're right.
Well, we've got a little sample so that we can go and find out what they are. Yeah.
You can find out what somebody else called them who may or may not be right. Yeah, yeah. Well, now, we've got a job to do this morning. Are you ready to do a job for me?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a big box there. Do you want to help me get that box? Yep, I want everybody to help.
Oh.
We're going to have some music, which is going to be loud, and I expect everybody to stand and dance while the children give you some flowers. Oh, are we ready, Rob? Well done. And thank you, Rob. I've given you a hard task today.
Everybody got flowers. Bouquets. Oodles of flowers. Thank you to the flower team for doing them for us today. So shall we say the grace together and then get a cup of coffee? To each other, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. Thank you.